to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome.
This podcast is the sermon for December 17th, 2023, the third Sunday of Advent by the Reverend Eric Williams.
So the third Sunday of Advent, we light the pink candle because this is Gaudete Sunday, the Sunday of rejoicing. Our scriptures are always given the theme of rejoicing. I will greatly rejoice in God, my salvation, says the prophet Isaiah. Rejoice greatly, says Paul to the Thessalonians. And yet, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I find it challenging to feel joy. The older I get, sometimes the harder it is to recover that childlike joy and wonder that I had as a child, that vibration with excitement. You know, this time of year, we're getting so close to Christmas, the tree is up, the presents are coming, Santa is coming, it's joy and excitement. And then as an adult, you think about all the things you gotta do, you worry about stuff. There's also just the accumulation of different types of trauma, grief and loss, broken relationships. And we can end up feeling like two of my favorite Christmas characters, the Grinch and Ebenezer Scrooge. There's no wonder why these are two of the most beloved characters of Christmas, because they represent that sense of isolation, right? They both, we don't know their whole backstory. We do know some of Scrooge's backstory, a broken heart. He gradually got more and more consumed with money and counting money, and he became a recluse and sort of grumpy and just a grumpy old man. And the Grinch is, I don't know what the Grinch is it, what kind of character he is, but he is also a grumpy old man in one way or another, also isolated, also hiding out on his mountaintop, and he can't stand people who are happy because it reminds him how miserable he is. I love these two guys. And they both go through a transformation in the story, and that's partly why they're such classics. We love to see that, from these isolated, grumpy old men to being restored to the sense of community and joy and love. For me, joy can feel elusive, and it's not that I'm a curmudgeon, although there are days when it would be really tempting, wouldn't it? Just to be one of those curmudgeonly types, you know? I imagine myself with a pipe, kind of going, ah, those darn kids, you know, ah. That's not probably where I am, but where I am is more like a sense of numbness sometimes. I want to go through the motions, but I don't know if I feel the way I want to feel at this time. And we look at movies and TV, and everybody just seems to radiate this joy, and I kind of wonder where it went. How do I recover that sense of joy? Where did it go, and how do I get it back? Our scriptures give us a few clues here. Another grumpy old man is John the Baptist. I don't know how old he was, but he also is another one of these great. I don't picture him as being full of joy. I don't know, when I picture him on the banks of the Jordan River, it's repent, you brood of vipers. You know, these are not sort of joyful affirmations. But John has something very important, and maybe it's a start for us. What John has is utter clarity about who he is and what he is here for. On the day we meet him today in John's gospel, his fame has spread, and the religious authorities, the Pharisees and the priests and the Levites, have heard about this rabble-rouser on the Jordan, and they don't know, is this a good thing or a bad thing? Should we be afraid of this guy? Should we be suspicious? So they send spies to interrogate him, and they ask him, who are you? What are you doing? By what authority are you doing this? And they said, are you the Messiah? Now, if he says yes, he's in trouble, right? That's blasphemy. He's out. But he says, no, I'm not the Messiah. I never claimed to be. I am not the Messiah. Are you Elijah? Come back. Because when the Messiah comes, Elijah's going to come back and herald this coming. Are you Elijah? No, I'm not Elijah. Are you the prophet that we've been waiting for? No. No, 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 I am not any of these things. What are you then? And why are you baptizing? And he's able to confess, to tell them who he is. I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. I am the one who is sent to proclaim the coming of Jesus. And there's power. Maybe there's not joy in that, but there's power in being clear about who you are and who you're not. Maybe that's a start, knowing what we're here for, discerning that deep sense of what God has placed us on this earth for. And it leads us to think that maybe joy is a different thing than happiness. I was reading on the Harvard Medical School website, psychologists tell us that happiness is fleeting. We're happy when we get our favorite dessert. You know, but that doesn't last, right? Unless it's a really good dessert. It's a fleeting kind of happiness, or happy if we win a few bucks in the lottery or something like that. But joy is different. Joy comes from a different place altogether. Happiness can be wiped out by suffering, by illness, by conflict, by sadness. But joy cannot, because joy is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Joy is that welling up of God's presence in our life, the promise of victory over pain and suffering of death. People testify all through the scriptures and the great saints of the church that joy comes even in the midst of suffering, even in the midst of conflict, even when the world is falling apart, joy can well up within us because it is divine. It comes from God. And I like to think that John the Baptist had some of that joy, that that's what drew people to him, that in the midst of him condemning them for their sins, they were also hearing the spark of God's promise of hope and salvation, of transformation, of becoming new through the waters of baptism, renewed in God's love and purpose and life. It's what happens in Scrooge when he finally is confronted by those ghosts and encounters again the reconnection with other people. It's a religious journey. It's the spark of joy. When he sits down to dinner with Bob Cratchit and his family, he is reborn, transformed, and renewed. And so it is with the Grinch. When he comes down off that mountain and joins the Who's in Whoville for their annoying singing and carves the roast beast, he's renewed. And joy, that seed that was planted of joy, comes to full fruition. It's what I pray for at this time. I've been, as many of you know, we've had a number of parishioners in very serious illness and injury, and it's really been weighing me down, really praying for and worrying about these beloved sisters and brothers in Christ who are just going through hell. And I pray for them that in the midst of their suffering and isolation, that they might know the power of God's love and feel that supernatural joy that doesn't come from any external stimulus, but wells up from inside, from the presence of God. And I pray for that for us as we worry about and pray for them, that we too can feel that spark of joy that comes to us. For me, it's triggered often by music, the music of this season. The Advent hymns, the Christmas carols. I was at the cathedral last night for the lessons and carols, and something began to move in my heart. I was feeling so numb, so sad, so worried, and hearing those carols with the promise of God's salvation, something began to shift. And that's what I pray for all of us this year. If you are struggling with sadness or grief, with conflict or worry, I pray that you might feel and know that joy that comes as the gift of God, that you might allow your heart to grow from being two sizes too small to being so big that it encompasses all the world, that you might feel the grace and love of God in your life and know that no matter what your situation, God is with you Emmanuel. That's what we proclaim. Jesus is our Emmanuel, our God with us in all the struggles of life. And may that transform us like Scrooge and like the Grinch, and even maybe like John the Baptist, to know and share the light of Christ in the darkness of the world.